Mickey Jr. seemed unfazed. From above, the picture of Sandy Koufax seemed to scowl down at Josh, disappointed in a young ball player who didn't know enough to stay out of trouble. Inside the director's office, Josh and Benji sat in two wooden chairs facing a big empty desk. On a table in front of a wall of bookshelves stood two magnificent trophies. Several people popped their heads inside the doorway to look them over before disappearing. The man from the ticket booth did the same thing, pausing long enough to cluck his tongue before shaking his head like the others and disappearing. "Great idea," Benji said, his face buried in his hands. "My dad's gonna kill me if he has to come all the way here to get me. Man, I didn't even get to see the Babe statue. Talk about exponential injustice."
"What's that?" Josh asked.
"I don't know," Benji said without removing his face from his hands. "I made it up. I heard Jaden use that word one time. I make stuff up when I'm depressed. Pretend I'm smart. It makes me feel better."
Josh sighed again. The knot in his stomach tightened when the woman reappeared with a white-haired man in a gray suit who sat down at his desk.
"These are the boys, Miss Simmons?" the director asked.
"They tried to ruin my event," she said, pursing her lips and nodding sharply. "They lied to me and they snuck in. Mr. Mullen was very precise that he wanted a press conference that was closed to the public. They embarrassed us all, and as the Mullen's official Cooperstown event planner, I want them banned from this place for life."
The director narrowed his eyes, then shook his head with a sigh.
"I can't see banning two kids from the Hall of Fame for life, Ms. Simmons. This isn't a movie set, and that's not how we operate."
"At a minimum," she said, scowling at the director, "their parents need to make sure they stay away from Mr. Mullen for the rest of the week. I have several events planned, and I don't want these little stalkers showing up everywhere I turn."
Josh appealed to the director.
"We just wanted to get our pictures with the statues of Hammer and Hank and the Babe."
The director sighed and picked up his phone.
"You want to give me your parents' number, son?"
Josh considered lying, but thought about Sandy Koufax's scowling face and knew he'd only dig himself deeper. If this went on much longer, he'd miss dinner, and his dad would come looking for him anyway, and that would only make it worse. He said his father's number, and the director began to dial.
"Wait," someone said.
Josh turned his head toward the doorway. Chapter 19.
"Mr. Mullen," the woman said.
The director put the phone back. In the doorway, looking remarkably small next to his 12-year-old son, stood Mickey Mullen. His craggy face was deeply tanned, and his dirty blonde hair fell in shaggy waves nearly into his striking bottle-blue eyes. He smiled with perfect teeth as white and gleaming as the stretch limo that got Jaden. The muscles in his arms looked tight beneath a short-sleeved white polo shirt. On his wrist hung a gold watch big enough to belong in Josh's dad's toolbox at home, and his fingernails had been carefully cut and polished to reflect the light. When Mickey Mullen stepped into the room, Josh felt a current of excitement rush through his body. This was the man he'd seen in old sports clips, and more recently on the big screen with nerves and fists of steel, defeating villains, and always ready to flash his knowing smile or crack a joke, even in the face of serious danger. Josh felt like he knew Mickey Mullen, like Mickey Mullen was part of his life. Then he realized that Mickey didn't know him from 20 million other kids. Josh choked with a flush of words he wanted to use to impress the famous man, to show him all the ways in which he and Josh were exactly alike. Mickey Mullen stepped into the room as if it were a stage and delivered his lines.
"You are event planner for the week, right? Felicity, right?" Mickey Mullen said. "I think that means beautiful."
Felicity blushed. "Actually, it means happy."
"Which is the same thing, isn't it?"
Mickey Mullen said, with a grin he now showed the director.
"These boys are my son's new friends."
Mickey Mullen nodded toward Mickey Jr., who stood now in the doorway. When Jaden peeked around him to give Josh a thumbs up, he knew that bringing Mickey in to save them had been her idea.
"I think this whole thing is just a misunderstanding," Mickey said. "Heck, it was my shindig, and I don't care that they got in."
"But Mr. Mullen, you said..."
Mickey Mullen smiled that smile, and the woman froze, blinking just once before melting into a soft puddle of good humor. Mickey turned to Josh, pointed at his cheek, and said,
"Ouch! Hope you got the license plate of that truck."
"What truck?" Josh asked, baffled.
"The one that ran over your face," Mickey Mullen said, then laughed. "Only kidding, son. But what happened to you?"
"He got hit by a beanball," Benji said, breaking in on the conversation. Josh scowled at Benji for answering the question that belonged to him.
"Sure," Mickey Mullen said. "Threw a couple beanballs myself back in the day. Part of the game, right, son?"
Josh didn't know what to say, so he touched his healing face, nodded lamely, and said, "I'm here for the tournament."
"I bet you are," Mickey Mullen said, turning to the two elaborate trophies and pointing to the slightly smaller one. "And I wish you all the best on the runners-up trophy here. That's what this is, right?"
Mickey stepped to the table by the books and pointed to the smaller of the two trophies.
"Yes, it is," the director said.
Josh knit his eyebrows. He couldn't keep from saying, "I play for the Titans, and we're planning to win the big one." Mickey Mullen smiled at Josh with twinkling eyes and shook his head ever so slightly, as if that just wasn't going to happen.
"Talk is cheap, and champions are like blue moons. They don't come around much."
"Mr. Mullen," Felicity said, "the director was just about to call these boys' parents."
"I've got a better idea," Mickey said. "I know just what these kids need."
Chapter 20 Josh and Benji leaned back, afraid of what Mickey Mullen would say.
"An ice cream," Mickey Mullen said, breaking out into his big grin again. "That's what they need. These are good kids."
"Thank you, Mr. Mullen," Josh said, hearing the words leave his mouth like he was playing a role in a Mickey Mullen movie.
"Call me the Mick," the great man said, with his smile burning bright. "That's what my friends call me. And watch out for those beanballs, will you?"
Before anyone could say another word, Benji jumped out of his seat, snatched a Sharpie marker from the director's desk, and handed it to Mickey Mullen along with his Red Sox cap. The star player signed it without looking, bumped fists with Benji and Josh, then blew a little kiss to the event planner before turning and leaving the room without another word.
"How cool was that?"
Benji asked, examining the cap.
"You said toilet paper," Josh said. "I didn't think you liked Mickey Mullen."
"I'm not crazy about the guy," Benji said, "but he did play for the Red Sox, and this thing will be worth money."
"Boys," the director said, reaching into his desk, "here, take these, some extra passes. Come back as much as you like. I'm a Hank Aaron fan, too."
"Thanks, mister," Josh said, accepting the passes and splitting them with Benji.
"Yeah, cool," Benji said. "Thanks."
"Come on," Josh said, tugging Benji toward the entrance. "They're all leaving." Mickey Jr. and Jaden made up only the tail end of an entourage of people buzzing around Mickey Mullen, talking on cell phones, taking orders from him, or clearing the way. Cameras flashed when he emerged into the gray, wet day, ducked beneath an umbrella, and scooted inside a waiting limo. An olive-skinned man with curly black hair, thick eyebrows, long sideburns, and a scowl emerged from the crowd and put his hand on Mickey Jr.'s shoulder. The man reminded Josh of an ape, despite his black suit and tie. His hunched-over frame rested on bow legs, and dark hair covered the backs of hands that hung like meat hooks. While the man bent his mouth to Mickey Jr.'s ear, his black eyes scanned Josh and his friends.
"Your father is heading down to New York for dinner with Robert De Niro to talk about a new film," the man said, loud enough for them all to hear. "Did you decide if you're joining or going back to the hotel with the team? It's up to you."
"Well," Mickey Jr. said, looking sadly at his father's car as it pulled away from the curb without him, "I guess I'll go to the hotel. Hey, Myron, can I give my friends a ride back to where they're staying first?" The man called Myron looked them over and even cocked his head like a monkey before he said,
"Well, we've got cars for the press. I'm sure we can squeeze them in somewhere and drop them."
"No," Mickey Jr. said, "I mean my car."
Well, I've already got the coaches going in your car if you're headed back to the hotel, the man said, obviously put out.
Mickey Jr. shrugged and took a cell phone out of his jeans pocket.
What are you doing? The man asked.
I'll give my dad a call and see if he can get me a car.
Mickey, cut that out, the man said, swatting at the phone with a hairy hand. You know I give you whatever you want. I was just saying. Go ahead, take your friends. The coaches can ride with me in my town car, and I'll just send the driver back for Glenda and Missy.
The man even held the limo door for them before closing it and slapping his hand on the roof to let the driver know he was set to go. The dark car, a shorter version of the one that had stopped for Jaden, eased out onto the street through a crowd of people who'd come out in the rain hoping to catch a glimpse of Mickey Mullen.
Who's Glenda and Missy?
Jaden asked, her notebook in hand.
Oh, Mickey Jr. said, waving his hand. Just my father's stylist and makeup artist. Don't worry, they won't mind.
Dude, Benji said, your dad wears makeup?
Jaden elbowed Benji in the ribs, and he gulped.
For movies, and when he's on TV, Mickey Jr. said, grinning. You know, a press conference like today, or an interview or something. That's Hollywood.
That's where you live? Benji asked.
Nah, Bel Air, Mickey Jr. said. It's okay, I guess. Doesn't rain much, though. I kind of like rain. You know, how it cleans everything and all that.
Well, welcome to upstate New York, Benji said, pointing his thumb out the window at the downpour. Can't get much cleaner than this place.
Who was the ape man?
Myron Underwood?
Mickey Jr. said. He used to be my dad's bodyguard. Now he's kind of like a personal assistant.
Assistant to what? Benji asked.
Mickey Jr. shrugged.
My dad, I guess.
He does all kinds of things, and he's got like some 10th degree black belt in jiu-jitsu. What he really wants is a role in one of my dad's movies. He takes acting lessons.
I bet the guy could get a part in Planet of the Apes too pretty easy, Benji said.
Jaden elbowed Benji again.
Thanks for saving us back there, Josh said.
He sat on the bench seat riding sideways while Jaden sat between Benji and Mickey Jr. in the back.
Jaden had the idea, Mickey Jr. said, but I was happy to help.
Dude, Benji said, that lady was lucky she didn't call my dad. He would have given her something to think about. My dad plays football.
Wow, Mickey Jr. said. That's great. What team?
Oh, this semi-pro team where we live, Benji said proudly. They don't get a ton of press, but last year they won the championship.
I don't know, you might have read about that somewhere.
That's cool, Mickey Jr. said.
Lido, Jaden said, this guy's dad won the World Series. Cut it out.
Hey, he said it was cool, Benji said. You heard him. Football's a whole different sport. You don't just run around in a pair of knickers and socks when you play football. It's men only.
Good grief, Jaden said, rolling her eyes. I'm sorry for my friend here. He gets delirious if he doesn't get fed.
I could use a hot dog if that's what you mean, Benji said.
Just forget it, Jaden said, crossing her arms.
Josh tried to show her his smile to let her know Benji was just goofing around, but Jaden stared straight ahead for the rest of the ride out to the Beaver Valley campsite. The only time anyone said anything was when they passed by Dream Park on their way out of town.
There it is, Mickey Jr. said, touching the car window at the sight of the enormous arched entryway to the 16 fields. I can't wait to get out there.
When they pulled into the gravel drive of the Beaver Valley campsite, Josh's mom and dad were just walking up the path under an umbrella with Laurel wedged between them. They looked up with surprise at the limo.
Hey, thanks a lot, Josh said.
Yeah, thanks, dude, but don't expect me not to put it out of the park when we play you, Benji said,
clicking his tongue twice against the roof of his mouth and winking at Mickey Jr. before slipping out of the car.
No problem, Mickey Jr. said pleasantly. You go get it, Lido.
Josh climbed out and waited for Jaden, who moved more slowly.
So, Jaden, Mickey Jr. said softly to her, if you give me your number, maybe we could, you know, get together or something this week sometime.
Josh bit into his lip.
Chapter 21 Jaden gave her cell phone number to Mickey Jr., then repeated it before climbing out.
Josh turned and started up the drive for the dining hall, where his parents waited on the porch.
"Josh,"
Jaden called, but he pretended he didn't hear.
"Hey,"
Benji said as the gravel crunched beneath the limo rolling off down the drive.
"You know what I was thinking? What about the ice cream?"
"What ice cream?" Josh asked.
"The Mick,"
Benji said.
"The Mick said he knew what we needed. What was that? Just like some movie line? Crap."
"Go get some Franks and beans, Lido,"
Jaden said, marching past.
"God forbid you run low on gas."
Benji stopped in his tracks, and Josh bumped into him.
"What's up with her?"
Benji asked.
"Who cares?" Josh said. "Let her new boyfriend deal with it."
Benji's eyes went wide. He looked from Josh to Jaden, then back to Josh, grinning.
"Oh yeah, I knew it! And you were fuming, right?"
"I couldn't care less,"
Josh said, watching Jaden kiss her father's cheek as he met her on the path and they started toward the dining hall together.
"I don't know,"
Benji said doubtfully.
"Come on," Josh said, heading for the dining hall himself so he'd beat Jaden there.
"Maybe we can get you some ice cream."
Benji bounced along beside him.
"I want the Mick ice cream so I can tell people like, hey, yeah, the Mick bought me this ice cream one time. You know, so it wasn't like I just saw the guy. More like we hung out a little. Don't think I'm not reminding him about what he said when we play those guys, because I will."
"We have to beat everyone else first," Josh said as they climbed the steps.
"We'll cream everyone else," Benji said. "Cream, like ice cream. Ha, get it?"
"Get what?"
Josh's dad asked.
"We met Mickey Mullen," Josh said.
"The Mickey Mullen?"
his mom asked. "Not the son?"
"No, the real deal," Josh said.
"How exciting," his mom said.
"Yeah, people were going crazy," Josh said, then noticed the look on his father's face.
"He's not that big, though, Mickey. Dad's like twice the size he is. Dad's the one who should be in those action movies. The actors they get to play the bad guys must be midgets, I swear."
"Not me," his dad said. "Tried out for West Side Story in middle school, and it wasn't pretty."
Josh forced out a laugh, and it sounded like his mom did the same thing.
"The Mick owes me an ice cream," Benji said to Josh's mom before turning to his dad. "And don't worry, Coach. Mickey Mullen and his son both know that I can't be bribed out of being your heavy hitter and doing serious damage to their defense. Not for ice cream, anyway. Money might be another story, but no one's offered me any money. Yet."
"Way to go, Lido," Josh's dad said without much enthusiasm. "You're a true team player. Now let's eat."
"Josh," his mom said as they sat down on one end of a long table amid the noise and mayhem of more than 100 people passing along platters of hot dogs, hamburgers, buns and rolls, beans and potato salad.
"There's Jaden and Dr. Niedermeyer. You should invite them to sit with us."
"No, that's all right, Mom," Josh said, taking two dogs.
"Joshua," his mom said as she passed the rolls, "I'd like to be able to ask you to have good manners, but I'll tell you if that's what it takes. She's your friend, and she came all this way to write about you and your father's team. The least you can do is be polite."
Josh clenched his teeth.
"She's doing a lot more than writing about Josh," Benji said, slathering a dog with ketchup and stuffing half of it into his mouth.
Josh's mom took a dollop of potato salad as she gave Benji a questioning look, but the only thing that got past his hot dog chomping was a silly grin. She turned her eyes on Josh.
"Her editor asked her to do a story about Mickey Mullen is all," Josh said. "We just don't want to hear about it anymore."
"That's no reason not to be polite," his mom said.
"Look," Josh said, pointing to Jaden and her father as they sat down at another table next to the Eshelmans.
"She's fine. She knows half the team, Mom."
His mom opened her mouth to say something, but his father put a hand on her arm.
"Laura," he said, nodding to the plate of hamburgers, "let's get those burgers going and let the boys start thinking about baseball instead of girls and action movies, okay?"
Josh's mom studied his dad for a moment, then swept a strand of hair behind her ear and said,
"That's a good idea. Let's eat."
Josh watched Jaden from the corner of his eye
as he pretended to listen to Benji telling a story about how his father once ate 2 dozen hot dogs in a contest.
"He must have gotten quite sick," Josh's mom said.
"Oh, yeah," Benji said. "You should have seen it. Chunks everywhere. Our dog, Bingo, didn't care, though. He went right after them. Joke was on him, though, because next thing you know, Bingo starts puking. Bad thing was that he gets it on my leg and the smell gets me gagging, and next thing you know, I puke. Basically a puke fest."
Josh's mom set her burger down, cleared her throat, wiped her mouth on a napkin, and said,
"So, let's talk about baseball. I know there are like 32 teams here, and you need to win 4 rounds to get into the finals, but who do you guys play in the first round? When do you face the Comets?"
"The first round is a team from Miami," Josh's dad said through a mouthful of food. "The Barracudas. The brackets got drawn randomly. We're in the upper bracket with 15 other teams, and the Comets are in the lower bracket. The only way we'll face them is if we both make it to the championship game, the finals."
5 games in all?" Josh's mom said. "How come we're here for 8 days?
"They need extra time in case we get rained out," his father said. "If the weather looks good, they'll just have a day or two where they can spread out the schedule a bit, let some of the teams rest up. That'll all be the luck of the draw, too."
"First round ought to be a breeze, right, Coach?" Benji said. "Our real rivals are the Comets, right?"
Josh's dad swallowed, shook his head, and said,
"You don't know who your real rival is until you play them. A rival is a team that's just as good as you are, maybe even a little better, but a team you play your very best against."
"But we only play teams here once," Benji said.
"But you know by how that goes that you're going to be seeing the team, or maybe just some of the players, somewhere down the line," Josh's dad said. "And the team from Florida? Don't take them lightly. They play more baseball in Florida than anywhere. The kids we play will be faster, more skillful, and more experienced, especially on defense, than any we've seen before."
"So," Benji said, a look of confusion on his face, "we can't win this? I thought we were one of the favorites to win, us and the Comets."
"I didn't say we couldn't win," Josh's dad said. "I just said that overall the Florida players might be even better than ours."
"So how do we win if they're better?" Benji asked.
Josh's dad winked at Josh and Benji and said,
"You don't have to be better. You just have to play better."
Chapter 22. Sunshine washed over the fields at Dream Park as the opening day of the tournament began. The sound of bats clanging and crowds cheering mixed with the smells of fresh grass, baking dirt, and food grilling. The day for Josh didn't begin so well. Seeing Mickey Jr. in the parking lot surrounded by a crowd eager to have their pictures taken with him left Josh's mind wandering. And in spite of a successful week of hitting the ball in practice, his mask felt uncomfortable. He shifted it about between pitches during his first at-bat, and the loss of focus helped him to strike out. After his teammates began to connect, though, he left the mask alone and found his groove driving 2 over the fence. Only a slight breeze stirred. The air and the lush grass grew steadily warmer as morning crept toward noon. The Barracudas maintained their lead, and Josh thought more and more about his father's words of warning the night before. While the Barracuda pitcher wasn't up to the standard of Sandy Plancheck, the players around him were demons in the field, snatching up fly balls, scooping grounders, and making throws as quick and easy as sneezing. The Barracudas could hit, too, and in the top of the 6th, with 3 men on base, it took a solo double play from Josh, snagging a wicked line drive and tagging the runner on second before he could get back to the base to put down the side. The Titans were still in it, only down 5-4. Esch began the bottom of the 6th with a single, and Josh followed with a double that sent Esch home for the tying run. The next 2 batters went down swinging, leaving the Titans' survival in Benji's hands. That's when Josh's dad gave him the signal to steal after the 2nd pitch. Josh stood on 2nd like a potted plant, and the pitcher threw a high ball that Benji swung at anyway. Josh never even moved. But on the next pitch, he took off. The catcher got caught slacking,
and made the throw late, with Josh burning up the baseline and sliding safe into third. He bounced up and slapped the dirt off his pants, his heart racing at the signal from his dad to steal if it was there. To Josh, that meant even the slightest fumble by the catcher and he would go. Benji hadn't gotten on base yet, and, as unlikely as it was to safely steal home, Josh's dad was betting on Josh's speed over Benji's bat. This time, though, the Barracudas wouldn't be caught unaware. Benji did his best, swinging at a curveball and missing, then missing on a changeup. Neither pitch left Josh an opening. Both times the ball smacked soundly into the catcher's mitt, with the catcher popping straight up to stare Josh down with the ball cocked back, ready to throw. Josh's dad tipped his hat and tugged his earlobe before tapping two fingers on his arm and then giving a series of fake signals. The initial signal, emphasized by the two fingers on his arm, meant steal home no matter what. When the ball crossed the plate, Josh would take off. Josh took a deep breath, dug his cleats into the dirt at the base of the bag, and prayed for a ball. Chapter 23. The pitcher wound up and let one fly. Josh timed it so that he took off as the ball crossed the plate, running all out at a blazing speed. The pitch went wide of the plate. The catcher dove and Josh felt a surge of delight. But as the catcher rolled in the dirt, he twisted and sprang to his feet with the ball in hand. He'd made a spectacular save. Josh envisioned plowing over the catcher, the ball spilling from his glove for the big win. But as he neared the plate, he realized that this catcher was smarter than that. Instead of wading down the line, he planted himself firmly over the plate, extending the ball, pinned into his mitt with his right hand. Without a body to knock down, Josh didn't stand a chance of running him over before he'd been tagged out. He made that calculation in a split second, stopped and raced back for third, thinking Benji might be able to get a hit after all. 3/4 of the way back, he sensed the catcher's throw zip past his ear and saw the ball land in the third baseman's glove. Josh reversed field again, sprinting for home. When something cracked into the back of his helmet, he grinned. The third baseman threw wild and the ball ricocheted off Josh's helmet toward the mound. He dug in, churning forward, aware of the pitcher scooping up the ball and the catcher back in the perfect position at home. Everyone shouted. Josh somehow sensed the catcher adjusting his glove for the throw. Josh stumbled and dove headfirst. He heard the smack of the ball into the catcher's mitt, but his fingers touched the bag just below it before the tag came.
"Safe!"
the umpire yelled. The Titans went wild. After a lot of backslapping and cheering among his teammates, Josh lined up to shake hands with the Florida kids along with everyone else. Then the team circled up around his dad.
"Okay, nice win, you guys. Esch, way to get on base with that single. LeBlanc, way to close the deal,"
his dad said, all business, looking down and flipping through the pages on his clipboard.
"So, we advance, but we still have a long way to go. 3 more wins to make it to the championship, so let's not celebrate too hard here. Tomorrow, we'll play the winner of the Nashville Roadsters and the Toronto Eagles in the second round."
"Roadsters?" Benji said, raising one eyebrow. "What's that? A car or a barnyard animal?"
Josh's dad looked at Benji and said, "They're 23-1 so far this season, so it doesn't matter what they are, right?"
"Right, coach,"
Benji said, coming to attention and saluting. When Josh's dad cracked a smile, the rest of the team laughed.
"The Roadsters and the Eagles play in about an hour, 1 o'clock on Field 7, his dad said. "So you guys get a bite to eat, and let's meet over there to scout things out."
The team put their hands in, did a chant, and broke up. Jaden waited beside the backstop with her pad and paper. Josh wandered over, expecting Jaden to praise their performance, kicking up dust with his cleat and studying the ground.
"Hey," he said, "we're going to scout the next team we play. You up for it?"
"Oh, hi, Josh,"
Jaden said, looking up as if she hadn't seen him.
"Nice steal at home. Exciting finish."
"You writing about that?"
Josh asked, craning his neck to see her pad. Jaden snapped the pad shut and forced a smile.
They'll let me run a paragraph. Maybe two. It's only the first round. Long way to go.
Yeah, Josh said, nodding.
So, what about going with us to scout? I'll buy you a hot dog or something.
No thanks,
Jaden said, picking up the backpack she'd set on the edge of the bleachers.
A soda or something?
He asked.
I gotta go over to Field 11, she said, looking at her watch. Get some follow-up stuff for my story on Mickey.
Junior or senior? Josh asked. Jaden stared at him with those green cat eyes, and the yellow fleck seemed to swirl, almost hypnotizing him.
Does it matter, Josh?
Anger erupted inside Josh like lava busting out the side of a volcano.
No, he said. It doesn't. You want to know why?
Tell me, Jaden said, sounding bored.
Because who cares about some Hollywood actor who used to play baseball? Who cares about a stuck-up kid?
Josh asked, raising his voice.
Jaden raised her chin. He is not stuck-up. He's very nice. And he helped save your butt yesterday, you and that goofy friend of yours. You guys could hardly thank him.
Last thing I knew, Benji was your friend, too. But obviously old friends don't matter to you when some movie actor and his kids show up, Josh said.
Someone calling for a heavy hitter?
Benji said, popping out from around the corner of the dugout.
I heard my name.
Stash it,
Jaden said to him.
Stow it, Josh said.
Lover's quarrel, I guess, Benji said, disappearing.
Those guys sure didn't do anything for me, Josh said. If anything, they did it for you, so you would write good things about them. That's all those two are worried about, flying people around to write good things. Don't kid yourself. Those people don't care about anything but themselves.
You should know about that, Jaden said, turning to go.
Chapter 24
Josh and Benji helped Josh's dad take the gear to the bus. Then they headed to Field 7. The winner of the game being played there would be their next opponent. With his mind on trying to get things back to normal with Jaden, Josh had a hard time focusing on the action in front of him. Halfway through the game, Benji nudged Josh in the ribs and he jumped, spilling his nachos all over his dad's lap.
"Josh, what the heck?"
his father said, wiping a smear of melted cheese from his knee.
"Sorry, Dad," Josh said.
His father's face softened, and he pointed at the field.
"How about this Chase Corcoran from Toronto? Kid can throw. He's just closing out the last two innings, so we'll see him in our game. I know I said I'd give you guys the rest of the day off, but I think I'd like to get some batting practice in later. You see that slider?"
"Slider?" Josh said, looking out at the lanky pitcher on the mound.
"You even watching?" his dad asked.
Josh felt his face heat up.
"Sure."
"Right," his dad said.
"Well," Josh said, scratching the back of his neck, "I know, like you said, that we've got three more games to win before the championship, but I just keep thinking about the Comets playing over there on Field 11. Would you mind if I went over there?"
His father looked at him with mild surprise and said,
"You're taking this rival thing serious, huh?"
"Kind of."
Josh's dad broke out in a grin, and he nodded.
"Yeah, I get it. You go ahead. I can handle the scouting here by myself."
Josh left the bleachers just as Corcoran struck out his third batter in a row. Benji hustled along beside him and said,
"I'm all for seeing the Comets, but we ought to make a pit stop."
Benji pointed toward the concession stand, but Josh didn't stop his quick march or say anything until he stood there at the corner of the bleachers at Field 11.
"What the heck?"
Josh said, his head swiveling this way and that, all around.
"I don't even see her."
"Her?
Who?"
Benji said, wrinkling his forehead.
"Jaden?"
"Who do you think?"
Josh said, still scanning.
"Dude, you are so in love," Benji said. "I thought we were here to scout these Comet guys. Hey, would you look at all those cameras and reporters? We had Jaden taking some crummy notes, but for these guys, it's like they're shooting a movie or something."
"Right, all the reporters, but no Jaden," Josh said. He sighed angrily, still searching the stands and anyone within eyesight of Field 11.
"Something's not right."
"Right or not," Benji said,
We should at least watch a little.
Okay, Josh said, starting to climb the crowded bleacher steps even as he continued to search. Let's sit down. They sat and watched the game for half an inning before Benji nudged Josh again and said,
Hey, look! There she is!
Chapter 25. Jaden sat in the dugout between Mickey Mullen and Mickey Mullen Jr., wearing a bright red Comets cap and clutching her notepad. Her smile seemed to glow.
You've got to be kidding me, Josh said.
A Comets hat?
Women, Benji said, shaking his head. Can't live with them, can't live without them.
Josh gave him a dirty look.
Come on, Benji said. My dad says that all the time. I'm sorry. Let's just go.
No, that's fine, Josh said. Let's scout these chumps.
Look, I know you don't want to sit here looking at Jaden sandwiched between those two guys, Benji said.
I couldn't care less, Josh said. Just be quiet and watch some baseball, Benji. Think about the game a little more, will you?
Josh forced himself not to look at Jaden, a feat that became much easier when the inning closed out and Mickey Mullen Jr. took the mound against the Tallahassee Knights. Josh studied his rival, watching carefully the windup and delivery that was as unique to every pitcher as his signature. Mullen moved with long, sweeping motions, releasing the ball with a final snap of the wrist that took advantage of his long arms and maximized the velocity of the ball. The kid could throw, and not just fastballs. His only issue seemed to be accuracy, and the tall, skinny umpire took care of that. In fact, the umpire's apparent strike zone was so high and so wide that Josh found himself studying the man's pinched and narrow face as he lifted his mask to take a drink of water between innings. The ump had a long nose, flattened to his face, and an unending scowl. When he walked, he swung one leg with a distinctive limp. Part of the scowl, Josh thought, might have been to deflect the constant complaints from the Tallahassee coach, who groaned loudly and shouted protests over the liberal strike zone. The game moved into the top of the final inning with the score tied at 2. Mickey Mullen Jr. hit a double, sending the runner on second home and giving the Comets the lead before the Tallahassee pitcher put down 3 batters in a row, closing out the side. With a 3-2 lead, Mickey Jr. took the mound again. The Mick emerged from the dugout and urged on the crowd, waving his arms with the drama of a symphony conductor. The crowd stood and cheered, wild for the movie star. The Mick then made a gallant gesture with his arm toward the pitcher's mound and bowed to his son. The crowd ate up the theatrics, and a storm of applause rained down on Mickey Jr. Even after the noise had settled to a steady cheer, excitement buzzed in the air, and Josh couldn't help wondering what it would be like to have a dad that famous. He stole a glance at Jaden. She stood, too, inside the dugout, clapping her hands with the rest of them.
Half the time the guy can't get it over the plate, Josh said with disgust, leaning into Benji's ear. And they're clapping like he's Roger Clemens.
Benji did his best to make farting noises by blowing on his arm, but it was no use. All eyes were on the Mick, his glowing eyes, his shining teeth, and his all-star son on the mound. The thrill must have gotten to Mickey Jr. because his first 3 pitches were so wild, the catcher had to come out of his stance to snag them. The ump correctly called all 3 balls. Finally, Mickey Jr. put one down the middle, but it passed the batter at eye level.
Strike! The ump called, pumping his fist.
What?
The Tallahassee coach screamed.
Are you crazy? That ball was almost over his head!
The ump ignored the coach and crouched down behind the plate.
You've got to be kidding me, ump!
The Tallahassee coach screamed. Josh studied Jaden. It looked like she was sitting a little more rigid than she had been a few minutes ago. The next pitch came waist high, but outside. A close call.
Strike! The ump said.
The Tallahassee coach went berserk, running out onto the dirt. The umpire whipped off his mask and snarled at the coach.
"You get back in that dugout or you're out of here, coach," the ump said. "Set an example for the kids, would you?"
"You set an example," the coach shouted. "I've never seen calls that bad."
"One more word, coach, and you're done."
The Tallahassee coach stamped back to his dugout and began shouting encouragement to his team. But even though his words were positive, his anger came through loud and clear. The next pitch was inside. The batter hesitated, and Josh knew what went through his mind. If it was even close, he might as well swing. He swung and missed. The crowd cheered as if they'd forgotten the pathetic calls, and so it went, with the next batter striking out on an 0-2 count. The third man up was the top of the Tallahassee order. He surprised everyone by hunting for a high pitch and connecting, blasting a line drive over the first baseman's head. The next batter came out swinging too, jumping at an outside pitch and connecting enough so that he dribbled one down the third base line. With two runners on, the next batter went hunting as well. It was obvious that the irate Tallahassee coach had told his best batters to swing at anything they could. Meanwhile, Mickey Jr. seemed to suddenly gain control. The first pitch came inside fast, then broke outside across the plate. The batter swung, but missed. The next pitch was low, but he swung anyway, hitting it foul. For three more pitches in a row, the batter defended the plate, swinging at everything but delivering nothing except foul balls. Finally, a ball came down the middle with heat. The batter swung and connected, sending a red-hot grounder past the edge of the mound. The shortstop made a great play by diving and just getting a glove on the ball to slow it down. The runners took off. The center fielder ran in on the wounded grounder. The runner from second rounded third, and the third base coach waved him home. The center fielder scooped up the ball, one-hopped, and made the throw to home. The runner slid, kicking up a cloud of dirt as the umpire crouched nearby with his eyes glued to the plate. The runner's foot hit home plate just as the catcher stretched up and snagged the throw. The catcher brought his glove down and slapped the runner's leg, nearly a second too late.
"Out!"
the umpire shouted, throwing a thumb over his right shoulder.
"Out!"
the losing coach shrieked amid the cheering crowd.
"Tagged him before the foot touched the plate, coach!"
the umpire shouted.
"He's out! Out! He was safe!"
the coach screamed, whipping off his hat and slapping it against his leg.
"You're blind! You're a moron! You're a crook!"
The coach threw his hat down and stomped on it. Then he balled his hands into fists and ran right at the umpire.
Chapter 26. The coaches from both teams swarmed home plate, grappling with the head coach gone crazy and fending him off the umpire. Mickey Mullen stood outside the Comets dugout with his arms crossed and grinning, shaking his head in disappointment at the madness but staying well away from the action. He turned to the crowd and offered up a dramatic shrug, as if to say that some people were simply crazy. The umpire didn't back down. In fact, he went after the Tallahassee coach, who was being restrained, and nearly got a punch off before two of the Comets' assistant coaches got hold of him and dragged him away.
"Holy moly," Josh said.
"It's like a Syracuse Express football practice," Benji said, gawking. "Those guys are always going at it, only the coaches just let them fight because they say they don't get paid enough to get a black eye."
"But did you see that call?" Josh said. "It was the worst call I've ever seen."
"Not the worst," Benji said. "Remember when we were in Philadelphia and that ump called it an out when the guy dropped the pop fly but scooped it up and put it in his glove but the ump couldn't see that far? That had to be the worst."
"Well, one of the worst then," Josh said. "That was awful."
"Yeah, well, that's what happens when your dad is in the movies," Benji said. "That ump is probably looking for tickets to the Oscars or something. Well, he earned them, I'll tell you, Josh said, shaking his head and slipping into the press of people exiting the bleachers.
You gonna try and talk to Jaden? Benji asked.
Forget Jaden, Josh said, pulling out his phone. I'm calling my dad. But when Josh called his dad's cell phone, he learned that his dad had already left.
Your mom asked me to get some grape juice at the store for your sister, his dad said. But I'll come back and get you guys if you're ready.
No, Josh said. That's okay. You talk to the driver about us being banned from the shuttle bus.
She's all set, Josh's dad said in a low rumble that meant business. I had a talk with the camp manager. You guys can ride, but keep the comments to yourselves, right? Tell that to Benji, too.
Josh smiled to himself. I will. So we'll just catch the shuttle. Maybe we'll even take it into town and see the babe's statue. Benji's dying to get a shot with it, and I want to see Hammer and Hanks. Then we can take the shuttle home later.
Don't miss dinner, his dad said. I'm going to have batting practice right afterward. This Corcoran kid's got me worried.
No problem, Dad.
Josh hung up, and he and Benji made their way to the entrance, where they found the powder-blue Beaver Valley campsite shuttle bus just getting ready to leave. The driver glared at them as they climbed the steps, but several parents and players from the Titans were already on the bus, heading for town, and the driver seemed to consider them with a glance before she said anything nasty.
No trouble, she said, growling under her breath with obvious hatred.
We won't, Josh said.
Trouble's what you make of it, Benji said, strutting by.
Meathead, Josh said in a whisper as they took their seats. What does that even mean?
Sounded good, Benji said. Like a ninja or something.
A ninja?
Or a Buddhist or something. I don't know, just work with me.
Like that umpire worked with the Comets? Josh asked, shaking his head in disgust.
You don't have to be as obvious as that, Benji said. That guy's lucky the Comets fans outnumbered the Tallahassee people by about 20-1, or there might have been a riot.
I mean, I've seen some bad calls, Josh said, but that guy took it to a whole new level.
Starstruck, I guess, Benji said. You saw what the Mick did with that crowd, like putty in his hands.
They got off the bus in the center of town with the rest of the crowd from the Beaver Valley campsite. Josh and Benji fell in with a handful of their teammates who were also heading for the museum. They walked up Pioneer Alley, and at the corner of Main where the turn for the museum was, Josh saw Mickey Jr.'s limo with its blacked-out windows heading their way. He grabbed Benji by the arm and pulled him aside.
Look, he said, pointing.
I told you, dude, Benji said, freeing his arm. I'm not impressed with big cars.
Not the car, Josh said, lowering his voice as the rest of the group kept going and the limo rolled past.
Jaden, you think she's in there?
Benji wrinkled his nose.
Nah.
Then Benji said, maybe.
Maybe? Josh asked.
They were sitting pretty close in that dugout.
Thanks,
Josh said, turning to go.
You asked, Benji said. Hey, where are you going?
To see, Josh said, taking off at a jog as the limo continued on down Pioneer Alley toward the waterfront.
Chapter 27. The limo turned the corner on Lake Street and Josh sped up. His breath was growing short by the time he reached Lake, so he was glad to see the limo make a left and turn into the marina. Visions of Jaden and Mickey Jr. going sailing together or taking a cruise in some antique boat with one of those comfy leather love seats in the back turned his stomach. By the time he rounded the corner and darted into the marina's long parking lot, the limo had already come to a stop down by the water. Josh scanned the docks, which extended a couple hundred feet out into the lake with boats nosed into them on either side. There wasn't too much activity, and after a couple minutes, his visions of a romantic boat ride were put to rest. Then his heart gave another lurch as he thought of the two of them, alone, sitting in the back of the limousine with the air conditioning blowing cool and the music down low. He approached the long black car, but the engine appeared to be off,
and the driver had a newspaper out on the wheel, reading the sports section. He looked up as Josh strolled past, and Josh waved, peering all the way in through to the back seat. It was empty. Josh looked around for where they'd gone. Of the two long buildings facing each other across the parking lot, one was a motel and the other was for boat storage and repair. Then Josh spotted the restaurant. He opened the door and peeked inside. Even in the middle of the afternoon, the tables overlooking the big windows were crowded and noisy. Colorful wooden fish hung from the ceiling, along with lamps shaped like anchors. Josh stepped in and scanned the room, seeing no sign of Jaden. He scanned the room again and was just turning to go when a head of dark curly hair caught his eye. The half of the face he could see sitting across from the person with the curly hair poked at his memory. He studied the high red cheek, small dark eye, and long flat nose of the pinched face. The umpire from the Comets game. For a better view of the other man, Josh circled along the bright blue wall beneath a yellow, blue, and green dolphin fish, and beneath that, a table of old men whose straw hats shook with laughter. Then he saw the face of the curly-headed man. Myron, the bodyguard in the black suit. He was grinning at the umpire and waving his hand in the air with a kingly expression. The two men exchanged a few words. Myron took a sip of coffee, then slipped the umpire a bulging manila envelope before he stood to go. Staying a few paces back, Josh followed Myron toward the door. He had to worm his way through a handful of customers waiting to be seated to get to the glass. He peered through just in time to see Myron climb back inside his limousine and pull away. When Josh turned around, he gasped and stumbled back against the door. The umpire stood there, staring at Josh with an angry scowl. His hand reached out and Josh ducked.